Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art with your hosts, David Von Strawn and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David and Leslie.
Hello! Charlottesville is Sunday! It is 10 o'clock, February the 25th.
Glowing eyes glowing like a
hope you're sleeping.
Well, they're not sleeping
soundly.
Now. They're not sleeping now.
Hell no, you ain't sleeping now because this is Homegrown, your show about local arts here in the new and ever-growing Charlottesville, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Black Frodo. And with me.
Black Frodo's my favorite.
Oh,
I just need
God.
To tell you that.
The feet. Yeah. The feet are kind of like.
No, you don't want to see the feet.
You know.
I've seen the feet.
Hairy toes.
Oh. Yeah.
It's
hairy
problem.
Toes and they. It's like a.
Right. I think I'm going to see somebody about it. No, actually, my feet aren't.
You know
that
what?
Bad.
You know
they've
what?
Been, they've been
it's
worse.
It's okay, baby. It's,
I've been taking
You know
care
what?
Of them.
They are part of you.
And with me as always. See, lovely. Loquacious, lascivious, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, good morning, David. How are you?
I got you some belated Valentine's Day chocolate.
You did?
No, it actually was here when I walked in the studio.
David!
I thought about you as soon as I saw it.
David!
And I was like, I'm going to give this to her.
Seriously? I get the chocolate that's been laying around on the desk?
I know.
That's what
have.
I get? That's what I get.
You're welcome.
No. No, I do not accept that. I do not accept that. You know why? Because I'm a grown ass one. I deserve better than that.
You deserve better.
I deserve
you
a
deserve
lot
better,
better
yes.
than that. On the actual Valentine's Day, I got dinner cooked for me.
Oh my God.
Okay. So you can take
somebody
your little,
cooked dinner for you?
You can
the
take
same
your
way
little...
I cook dinner for my partner at least twice a week. Oh my God, somebody cooked dinner for you on Valentine's Day. Holy crap. Did you write down the date on the calendar?
It was not the first time he had cooked dinner for me.
Okay, just wanted to make sure.
Because
you deserve better.
There was also, you know, another special thing that happened on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
So,
yeah, well,
you know, yeah. Okay, we ain't talking about that, though. FCC would get a little upset. We ain't talking about that.
Let's move on. We have a very special guest in the house.
Just one? Only one of them are special?
Well, all of our guests are incredibly special.
Yes.
Even non-speaking guests. I call them non-PCs for all my video game fans. But this cat is extremely special because he's been around the way. Like, this dude's been playing since the 60s. Could have been on the Ed Sullivan Show, but hey, Uncle Sam had better plans for him, as they like to say. But he's one of the Teamsters. That's T-E-E-M. Teammates. Damn, I just screwed up the intro. I can back it up.
It's really
He's
early.
One of the teammates.
It's really early on Sunday
it's
morning,
really
y'all.
Early.
And we're artists.
And I'm already, like
yeah.
highly caffeinated, just, never duplicated. So I'm a little jacked up. I'm a little excited because, like, yeah. All right. So Bobby Palomino is in the house here with Greg Brown, local musician, promoting the Union Ridge Baptist Church benefit concert on March the 3rd. Bobby Palomino of the Teammates. Great band of the 60s toured nationwide.
I'm moving out. Still got it.
Still got it, baby.
I missed my little bed this morning. I'm not used to getting out of bed before 11 a.m.
I hear you.
We aren't either.
But with good people, why not? Sitting here with Greg, Maria.
Right?
Leslie. My man over here, David. Leslie. And of course, me and Greg.
Yes.
That's what's up.
So, yes, I'm happy.
Shout
to
out to Maria
here.
In the
Thank
back.
For inviting us.
Reading her book. Cool.
She's reading Clive Barker? Really?
Homework. That's actually school.
That's homework?
Yeah, right. Times change.
Times they are definitely changing.
Yeah.
Oh my.
We've already had that discussion.
Okay, all right.
Do you know who this is?
Right.
No,
yeah. All right, all okay, right. Anyway.
Let's get to the nitty gritty.
Just threw me for a second.
You're here talking about the church, and then we can get into much.
Yes, yes. Union Ridge Baptist Church benefit concert, March the 3rd. Talk about it. Who's it benefiting? What's going down? Who's playing? Let's know.
All right. Greg.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is a benefit for the church itself. Those of you who know the church, it's on off Hydraulic Road. Is a historic church. It's had needs some repairs, especially when we had those single digits for a while. They had some plumbing issues, some roof issues. So this is to kind of raise money to help the church and its congregation. A great historical place in Charlottesville. Let's see. I think I'm starting off doing some solo stuff. Anything from Spanish classical guitar.
It's great. It's great. That Spanish stuff.
I know.
Gracias. I appreciate it. So starting off on that, and then I think Bobby and a bunch of us will be playing. Got a guy, Nick Flores, on saxophone, and Joe Tucker on.
I think his name
vibes.
Is Nick. Nick is on sax.
Nick. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And a bunch of local guys, and then we've been doing some jazz with everybody else hanging around. So no, nice little variety show. Should be a fun event.
Smooth wow. jazz. Yeah. Oh, so
that's
smooth.
That's really cool.
Oh, so should smooth. Be. And it's. Oh, I apologize.
So how did you get all these guys together? Did you just call people up and say, hey, let's do this benefit, or? And they gotcha. Said, yeah, or...
That's kind of Greg's style. Yeah. The last time he was here, yeah, I was like, I just called up a whole bunch of people and we did the damn thing, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. Actually, the church initially reached out to me, I guess, Joe, who's also a reverend there, spent some time, said, hey, they're doing a thing. I usually, about every winter, I do a concert there for the church. I think last couple of years I've done stuff to help... help some of the people in the congregation for heat and things like that, just to kind of help people get through the winter. So Joe and I worked with Lester Smith. Bobby, gotten close to Bobby over the last year and a half or so, and I was like, let's do this. And
he's never had a rehearsal.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Really? No rehearsal?
No rehearsal.
Just walk in and get it done, huh?
Just walk in, and he brings me up there, and boom, away we go. Johnny, be good.
Nice. All right.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's great. So we just kind of just got the feelers out to some other musicians and said, hey, let's do this. Who's up for it? Mm-hmm. And so luckily a lot of people in the community stepped up and looking forward to it.
Nice. Nice. So, like, what's the – does it benefit the actual church?
Correct.
Like, for renovations and, like – more, more books, more hymns.
Correct.
Harder pews. Maybe a pillow for the pew.
No
pillow for the pew?
No.
Pews is hard, though. 2 hours of service?
When's the last time you were in church?
Lord, the last time I was in church?
Exactly.
You know the last time I was in church,
I know.
Actually, and I
know.
Had a reason to be.
I know.
Because I was fearing for my
married?
Life. Huh?
You got married?
8:12. Close enough.
We were all praying. That yeah,
it's the closest to heaven I've ever felt. But that's neither here
he's
nor
just
there.
A little nuts though in the morning. pay no attention to David. He's just a little crazy in the morning. And that's okay.
And a little secular. So I apologize for that.
And we love him. You're doing this one because the pipes in the church froze and.
Initially, there was a pipe issue, and then, but I think there's some other and there's some roof issues. It is an old historical building, that they kind of resurrected a little while ago, no pun intended, so it's to kind of keep the old building going.
Cool, Bobby, you're super chill over there, and I got to talk to you. First of all, how'd you meet Greg, and what? Of your illustrious career brought you to Charlottesville, Virginia.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's very nice to be down here. I love the city itself, despite some of the activity that took place in the past year, which is unfortunate for any town, municipality, city. But coming from out of New York City, we had events there on a daily basis. So you kind of grow up and live with that, and it's not the unexpected that gets you. It's the expected that gets you. This particular event that we had last year was expected, but not anticipated. And that being what it is, it became what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So what brings me to Charlottesville is the beauty of the city, the history of the city, the peace and quiet, and how I met Greg is just, you know, that's the way the world works in my life. My life is, you know, I put one foot down, and next foot goes down, it turns right, and I'm into the music and art store, and I met Greg there, who was the manager. And one of the first people I met down here, really. And it's like almost like the Lord in heavens, you know, was guiding my little feet around the corner from Starbucks one afternoon. I walked in there. I introduced myself.
Like they do.
And Greg was like sitting there. He was standing in the middle of the store with Drew, his assistant. Drew is a great guy, by the way.
Yes,
you got
much.
Good people in that store.
Thank you.
You got Drew, you got Kat, you got... And that's how I met Reverend Joe Tucker. Reverend Joe Tucker came out and sat there. Always has his beautiful black suit on with a white shirt in the middle of summertime. The heat was shining down.
Yep.
He gets out of his car with all these guitars, and I'm sitting there smoking a cigarette. Ooh. And I saw this guy, and he looked like somebody I had seen with Dr. John years earlier. And sure enough, he had opened for Dr. John a number of times, from what I understand.
Dr. John.
Dr. John.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
Real get down.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he started talking to me and introduced himself. And there var. I got to meet Greg. I got to meet Drew. I got to meet Reverend Joe. Greg was kind enough to invite me to a gig they were doing outside in the cafeteria, the New Wegmans.
Oh, yeah.
And we all went up there, no rehearsal. This is a year later now, we're talking, this past year.
Right.
And I'm down here 3 years this March. So, yeah, time has flown, and it's a great city. And just happens to be that the people that I've met here... It's all because maybe it's my energy, inflow or outflow. Maybe it's theirs. I'm not going to question it.
Right.
It is what it is. I'm happy to be here. And now meeting guys like you through Greg, with little Maria sitting behind. Maria, by the way, is Greg's daughter.
And isn't she adorable?
She is.
She's adorable.
Oh. There's a number of adorable people in the world. Children are special ones of all.
Yep. So so exactly how long have you been playing music?
55 years. Coming up, I started in 1955 when I was 13. And that was brought on by the coming out of Bill Haley and the Comets.
Okay.
And I was floored when I heard it because all I was hearing before that was, come down, Ivory Tower. You know,
right, like, right.
Yeah, Teresa Brewer. Not bad. I mean, it was music. Music is music. But I had a gift of music with my voice. And I used to sit up in bed when I was 4 or 5 years old, sing my brothers and sisters, 9 of them, to sleep at night.
Aww.
So, you know, coming out of that background. And so at any rate, my mama, she brought me a plastic guitar. 1955, and I took to that guitar, and I've been playing it ever since.
All
not
right.
that one.
Right.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
What's the first electric guitar that you bought yourself?
The first?
Electric guitar that you bought yourself.
Fender Jaguar.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
1962.
David's having a little moment over here.
Sorry.
He's gonna need to.
You seen a Fender Jaguar before?
We're gonna need to calm him
it's
down.
It's like a Stratocaster, but like so much bigger, and it's
it had tools. I mean, I'm telling you, those tools were jewels.
Yeah.
And Drew, by the way, had in the music store has a Jaguar.
Really?
Yeah.
Not a
it's
62
a recent,
though.
Recent.
Right? Is it a Jaguar or Jagmaster? Is it
for
Yeah, maybe it is Jazzmaster.
Okay.
I had a Jaguar. I wasn't a Jazzmaster.
Jagmaster is kind of like the Stratocaster Jaguar hybrid.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I have to take everything back. It was a Jazzmaster.
Okay.
Fender Jazzmaster 62. Okay. And my co-guitar player got a Fender Jaguar.
Okay.
There we go.
Nice. All right, so I like the Jaguar and I like the Cyclones.
Reverse them and there we are.
Cyclones are dead.
And that was my first guitar. And then, unfortunately... 2-3 years later, it was stolen on a tour to Canada.
So many guitars.
I got it in Montreal. Hey, Montreal, can you hear me?
all right. Keep it clean. Keep it clean for the radio now.
No expletives. We just want to.
No FCC issues.
Right. Montreal, you're doing them dirty. You did them dirty.
So you've been playing for 55 years. You've played what? Rock. You've played jazz. I'm assuming you've played. Like, how many genres of music have you played?
That's such an easy question, but so difficult to answer because I never really, I always loved jazz. I played with some of the biggest and the best in the world.
Right.
Stan Getz, his son, was my manager.
Really?
In the 80s.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to land a gig with my band at a place called the Metropole Cafe.
Okay.
Ever heard of it?
I've never heard of that.
It is, or was, the in place to go when you got to New York City. If you wanted to see big band, Dixieland,
ooh,
jazz.
Nice.
And you had everybody there. Maynard Ferguson, Gene Krupa, the Dukes of Dixieland were there. One of my favorite was Max Kaminsky. He played a clarinet.
Yes.
And Maxie was my buddy. And then, of course, you had the guy who always called me my man. And that was, God rest his soul, Henry Red Allen.
Okay.
But we were the first rock and roll band in that club.
Oh, wow.
So we did the matinees while the Star Acts did the
evening shows, yeah.
So we get on stage at 1 in the afternoon, and they come in and start their gig at 8 at night. We'd go off. So I'd get to meet them all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So jazz I never picked up the math to.
Okay.
I could never pick up the math, you know, the half times, the quarters.
Yeah.
It was just a foreign language to me. I can play like little riffs every now and then, but rock and roll, rhythm and blues, folk, Greenwich Village folk.
Yeah.
Not the folk from the Scots.
Right.
60s folk and country music. I was raised on country music.
Mm. Okay.
Johnny Cash.
Oh,
Lefty
yes.
Frizzell. You know, all those guys. I was raised, my mama loved that stuff.
Yeah.
So I still sing one Johnny Cash song whenever I perform.
Oh, great.
Folsom Prison.
Yes. Yeah, I just took every year my mom and my daughter and I do a girls trip. And so last year we went to Memphis and Nashville. So we got to go to the Johnny Cash Museum in Memphis. Oh my God, it was amazing! Like I was in heaven.
Johnny Cash Museum.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah,
and it's got great stuff in there too. I mean, he's got his birth certificate is in there. Like it's his entire life just laid out. It's so great. And upstairs is Patsy Cline.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in heaven because Patsy Cline was my girl. Like
yes. Johnny Cash. That's right. Johnny Cash walking the line, like Leslie's walking the line of this commercial break. We're going to do a drop.
Oh, my God.
We're going to pay some bills. Be right back.
Excited.
This is Homegrown.
Drop.
18 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am David Von Strawn. That's Leslie Clinton on the boards. We are in the studio with Greg Brown and Bobby Palomino. They're promoting the Union Ridge Baptist Church benefit concert on March the 3rd. But we're talking with Bobby about his illustrious past of rocking and rolling. Rock before rock was rock. I bet you. Huh? Do you want to play a song? We got stuff.
Yes, let's play. Yes, I want to hear you play.
Let's hear some of Bobby
Palomino.
Let's hear
it.
Which of the three ones do you want to play?
Which what?
Which one? Which song do you want us to play?
What do you got? Bad Business up there?
Bad Business?
Let's do that one.
Let's do Bad Business. This is Bad Business.
Set for the night, don't bother me none if the day wasn't right. I wasn't around and had nothing to do with any trouble that the world may have got itself into. Bad business goes on in the day.
Palomino, after 55 years, still got pipes.
Still rocking it, man.
Still got pipes.
That's awesome.
Do you hear the laugh at the end of that song?
Yes.
Bad business, risky little tricksters. Where'd that come from? Whoever would have thought of that? Yeah, that came out of the universe. Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and even like, You having like 60s influences, I still heard like essences of like Dire Straits in
song.
Oh, yeah,
and like stuff like that, like 80s mm-hmm. like rock music. So it's like throughout like all of your like gestation of like these different genres, it seems like you just have this like this blend of like old school Americana rockabilly like mesh going on, and I think that's kind of cool. And you still have that energy, still like that Chuck Berry-esque, like, you know, duck hop energy, and that's great. I remember seeing Al Green.
Oh, yeah.
He came down to the amphitheater, and he was mid-70s, and he's doing it like he was 25. I was dude didn't miss a step. So you still have that same, like, so
there it is.
Does music I guess my question is, does music keep you young?
Yeah, I would say to anybody that's getting old out there, listen to music. Listen to music, go out to shows, even try to sing in your bathtub. Do whatever you have to do, because the miracle of music and the sound of song is really something that just turns your blood from green to red.
Mm.
You know, it rejuvenates all those blood cells in there. It does something, really, it's quite serious. It's psychological. It does something to you.
Mm. I absolutely agree that music does something to you. Like, and after playing it for so long, why do you think people get so crazy about music? Like, Why do people get so upset at certain types of music? Because when rock and roll came out, parents were upset.
We were the enemy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is just another passing fancy.
This is the same thing about
it's
rock,
like
too.
Today, you know, it's like, what's going on today?
Yeah. Show, you know?
And listen to today's music. If you listen to it, everything goes back down. I don't care if it's rock, rap, hip-hop. It all gets back down to the beginnings of rock and roll. Actually, even rock and roll goes back to the beginnings of the blues, the old-time Delta blues,
mm-hmm.
and the old-time... we're talking about music coming out of the 30s from the New Orleans Delta.
Yes.
And now you look at today's music, and like my man was saying, you know, it sounds a little like Dire Straits influence in
mm-hmm.
there.
I heard some Elton John in there.
Music is music. it all has one pattern, and it's a universal, and this may answer the question, it's a universal thing, and we are all creatures of the universe, and that universe touches us via T-O-N-E, tone.
Mm. Right, right.
It's the tone of his voice I didn't like.
Right. Right, right.
The tone of her voice was so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between tone, you don't even have to look at it. Anybody can talk, but it's the inflection and the tone that's really going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On who your friend's going to be.
And the belief and the legitimacy of what people are saying, like, not only do I think, like, generationally, like, music upsets people, but like you can have a discussion and like somebody will be like, well, I like Nickelback, and you're like, well, I don't know if we can be friends anymore. Like, it's just like some bands you just feel strongly about, like you just dislike, and you're like, how can you like that type of music, or how can you like that? Like, it, I always say that music is the new religion. How people kind of put like a certain like emphasis on music and what they believe and what it does for them, and they see other music as like, you know, just basura and just like not even like worth, you know, ingesting, because it's just toxic. It's just like pop music. Some people just don't mess with pop music because they think it's manufactured and it's plastic and it's corporate and it doesn't belong in the same echelon as music that actual musicians that have done it for years and believe in it like you do, create. So it's like, do you believe in that? Do you like have some people that you just can't,
listen
with?
To? Yeah.
Like in terms of like, you're just like, this isn't music. Or have you grown to be like, well, this is all music and this is all just different forms of expression, and I just need to understand
that.
Well,
that's a toughie for me. First of all, religion... Music is all religion. It doesn't matter. You know, you go down and hear the sounds of the Torah, or you hear the gospel in the black church, or you hear the organ in the in any given church of today.
Well, a lot of the religions all thought like religion, like music, was divine in origin.
I mean, it bonds culture.
Its foundation is divine. But you know, when you get into the genres and all, like Greg. Is one of those hardcore heavy metal musicians.
Not was.
Really?
I've heard Greg's new stuff. It's pretty heavy.
It's pretty heavy.
Some of the videos of this guy, you know, and listen
I know.
How fast he is.
I've seen the videos with the long hair.
Now, when I first heard him playing, all I heard him doing was, you were playing at with Reverend Joe down at a beer place. What was that? Three Notched?
Right. We're just doing jazz.
Yeah,
sure.
A year or so ago. And I heard Greg, I heard Reverend Joe, and they're playing nice jazz. It was nice stuff, but I was really amazed at how quick the finger action on the guitar was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's an illusion.
And
no, it's not. It's
I had no idea,
really.
You know, that people in Virginia were that quick.
Shots fired.
I wasn't born here.
Coming out of New York City, you got to be super quick.
Jersey and me.
Believe me, I love you, Virginia. I love all of you. Actually, the talent down here is better than what you find in the in the Lower East Side of Manhattan right now. The
hip spot
back there.
Well, all right.
So all that, you know, in summary, it never ends.
Right.
Even after I'm long gone, that's the beauty of life if you're a musician. After you're long gone, the sounds of your sounds will live on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Union Ridge Baptist Church benefit concert going down March 3rd. Bobby Palomino. Is that your Wu-Tang name? Bobby Palomino?
Oh, my God.
Like Childish Gambino?
Oh, my God.
That's a handle I use.
It's a handle. There you go.
Oh, man, he's 76 years old, and he got a handle.
That's
Bobby
awesome.
Palomino. Thank Greg you, Brown, thank you so much for coming on this show.
Thank
please
you.
Be back. Please be back. Greg, I know you're going to be back, but Bobby, thanks please so come back.
Yeah, Bobby, please.
We got so
come
much
back.
Talk.
Thank you.
We got
we'll
so much do. More to talk about. All right. Again, I don't know what I'm doing. Are we
going
to do drop and then
you don't
and then
know what
announcements
you're doing?
Or announcements and then drop? We can just go right into announcements.
Right.
Do we got that music going?
Yeah.
All right. Man Ears! Or just some of the artistic events happening this week. Man, it's been a while. I can't talk.
It's all
nothing
right.
On this.
I'm going to get sugar. You can do that.
Currently running February 28th. There's children in the room. Love's a Bitch, directed and freely adapted by Dave Dalton. Don't use that word, Maria. From Tirso de Molina's Don Gil de las Casas Verdes. Man, I need to read through this before the show. Currently running now through March 8th, Tuesday from 1 o'clock to 3:30. Join instructor Kristen Rembold as she looks at pattern and form in poetry at the Charlottesville Writer House. Currently running now through March 25th. Current works by McGuffey artist Judy McLeod hanging at Les Yeux du Mont. Oh, see, it has it phonetically right there. Les Yeux du Mont Gallery. Currently running through April 8th, the Actors Renaissance Season at the American Shakespeare Center presents Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
You used to read it before.
Congreves, I did. I was much better with my stuff back in the day. But it's been so long. The Way of the World, John Marston's Antonio Ravetch in Hamlet, and Richard II by Shakespeare, all at the Blackfriars Playhouse in Stanton. You know what happened? Because Palomino was talking about life, and it got me distracted. Like, we listened to him for a half an hour before the show, just talking about life, and that's usually when I read my script. I apologize, people. He's just that entrancing. Last Chance, South Pacific at CHS. Also, Last Chance, Young Frankenstein at STAB. Also, February 27th. Good Lord, all the expletives in this. Laugh Yo Ass Off Comedy. Open Mic. Y'all some dirty mofos, Charlottesville. Hosted by Richmond comic Brandon Beswick at the Southern Cafe Music Hall. Oh, where'd Chris Allen go? Did he move away? I hope not. Chris, stay around. February 27th, the UVA Frail and Art Museum offers Toddlers in Artland. Aw. Where museum educator Emily Lazaro introduces parents and toddler pairs to big ideas with lots of people in development theory through playful practice strategies. That sounds adorable. March 1st through March the 4th, Little Women, the musical, but they're actually not little women. They're big people.
David. David, just read
it. The musical at Tandem Friends School. March 1st, UVA MFA reading series continues with Caleb Nolan and Cassie Davies at New Dominion Bookshop. March the 2nd, it's First Fridays, when galleries and venues on and around the downtown mall have art openings. Check them out. March 2nd, Virginia Center for the Book shows its broadsides and book. Whoa. Don't be showing your broadsides, Virginia Center for
the Book. David!
You don't need to see all that.
David, just read the list,
Never
baby.
Never judge a book by its cover. Book arts at the New Dominion Bookshop, March 2nd. Big Blue Doors, First Friday Improv with three. Count them, three. That's what it says on the sheet. Big Blue Door Improv Ensembles, Bunch, The Administration, and Feminine Hijinks at McGuffey Art Center. The improv group of names. March the 3rd, the Parking Lot Movie plays at the Paramount Theater. And for your music options this week.
Oh my, for your music options. Oh. Today, Zazu's Hot 5 plays Fellini's at noon. The Burks with Bill Staten at the Batesville Market at 1. Cat Summers plays Wild Wolf Brewery. The Virginia Consort sings Vivaldi's Beatus Veer and... hold on. I'm going to get it. Lauridsen's Lux Aetna at UVA's Cabell Hall. If I mispronounce that, oh well. Acoustic open mic night at the Space Lab at 5 p.m. tonight. King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. David Tewksbury at Fellini's. What's up, David? Love ya. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar at February 27th. Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar the 28th. Maddie Metcalf on the piano at Fellini's. Bobbleheads at Dirty Nellie's, Studebaker Huck at Rapture, March the 1st, the Michael Ellswick Gathering, and the Nick and Steve Pollock at Fellini's. The 2nd, Choose Your Own Adventure at the Whiskey Jar. Is that a band, or are they having like,
yes,
they're,
yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, it doesn't sound like a band. It sounds like somebody's going to like.
Yeah, it sounds like a trivia. Like,
yeah. Okay, also
it's
March.
Confusing. Choose Your Own Adventure.
March 2nd, chamomile and whiskey at the Glasshouse Winery.
I'm just kidding. You're all
recently relocated New Jersey singer-songwriter James Downing plays the Space Lab Vibe Fest at the Ix Park, including a concert by local funksters Vibe Riot.
Wonder where they got the name for it.
Faster Than Walking at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, Bob Bonetta and the Chicken Head Blues Band at Fellini's on the 3rd, from country to folk to classic rock with Patrick Tucci at James River Brewery. Curtis Prince and the Clairvoyants at the Batesville Market. So are they going to do like readings for people? I'm just wondering. Anyway, March 3rd.
These could be events and these could be events.
Right. March 3rd, Positive Collective, the Front Porch Roots Music School.
I remember Marie, when you could tell what was a music
it.
Band.
Marie, Coda, and Marina at Dirty Nellie's. LG and Friends lay down blues, jazz, R&B, and rock and roll at the Whiskey Jar. Party like it's 2000 with DJW at the Anteroom on March 3rd. Whew, all right, here we go. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot, Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, traditional session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Land Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero. And every Wednesday, here
Wacky
we go.
Wednesdays.
Open Mic Night at Pro Reynada Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Sorry, I got a page turn. Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective number 9 at Fellini's number 9.
Bam!
Bachata Fusion at the Anteroom, presented by the Charlottesville Salsa Club.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebadero.
Bam!
And the Mike Krasinski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Woo!
That's a lot of stuff going on for Wednesday. Thursday, Lua at the Bebadero. And every Thursday, here we go, ready? John Durth! At Miller's. All right, we're gonna hit a drop and we'll be right back.
This is Homegrown.
Drop!
This is Remy St. Clair.
And this is Fellow Man. We are the Sons of Ichi Bay.
And you are rocking with Homegrown, your show about local art.
On 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
37 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive choice.
Voice.
Choice.
Voice.
It could be a choice.
Choice and
choice.
Voice.
Or choice and voice.
Choice and voice.
I'm yes. DVS. That's Leslie Clinton on the boards. With us is a great playwright of Charlottesville. His magnificence is heard far and wide.
Far and wide.
I give you Alex Citron.
Hello there.
And the voice, too. You got a voice, Alex.
Thank you. I can't possibly say anything as entertaining as that events calendar. You just
Can you believe we do that every week?
That every week. That is great writing, I got to say.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Alex Citron just wrote an awesome play called Stolen Moon. The director is Eric Hart. Say what's up to Eric.
Hey, what's up? There you go.
He takes direction very well as a director.
I used to be an actor.
Used to be? I think you still are an actor.
Yeah, I am an actor, actually.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
It helps to be a director and an actor. Because you can tell when people are acting as opposed to becoming.
Yes.
Which Alex will tell you is my big thing.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Then you must love me.
The women's hygiene. Oh, it was hijinks. That's what's in your... I thought it was hygiene.
Yeah. Ooh. I think that's the play on words. It's hijinks. Yeah. Belmont's Art Collective Collaborative Theater. March 2nd through March 10th. It's going down. Talk about it. Talk about Stolen Moon, Alex. What's it about?
Well, Stolen
Who's
Moon.
Who's it about?
Stolen Moon is a whimsical journey into the imagination of a young girl as she concocts a story about the origin of the moon and where it came from and how it hangs in the night sky and what its mystical powers are, how it makes for love and romance. And there's something about the tides, although we never really understand that. Yeah.
Ebb and flow.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Car dealers.
So I just need to show you the watch that I'm wearing.
Moon.
With the moon phases.
It's moon
Very
phases.
Good, yeah.
See, I prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe a little differently than others, but
that's,
I prepare.
That's
and
where
I'll
the
tell
moon
you,
comes
I'll
from.
Tell you, dude, the people hear my description of the play, and even Leslie, when I was talking to her about it not too long ago, said, so it sounds like a children's play, and it's not. Although it is certainly something you can bring the whole family to, and the kids are going to love it. They're there are zany, clownish characters. There are swords. There are chase scenes.
Huh.
But but it's also something that adults would enjoy, too, because there's a lot of humor that maybe is going to go over the kids' heads, but mom and dad are going to like it. So it truly is family-friendly, but not in the sense of being all syrupy and just for kids and mom
and dad,
you know, have to, like, grit their teeth and sit through it. Not at all.
Yeah, nobody likes those feel-good movies.
So I you mentioned swords.
Yeah.
I know a couple of people in your cast.
Yeah.
Please tell me you didn't give Frank a sword.
No, Frank does not.
Frank never touches the sword.
Thank God. Okay.
I'm sure this is a violation of some kind of OSHA rules or something. The sword is primarily handled by an 11-year-old, so that's a little daring. But
good. All right.
His last name is Moon.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful that the young lady who's playing the lead in the show is named Brianna Moon, and it's wonderful to have a girl named Moon playing the lead in a play about the moon. And Eric worked it out that way on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, when I cast it, when her name came up, I said, she's it. That was it.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Actually, that's a funny story, because I remember doing a play called Yankee Tavern that Alex Citron directed.
I did, yeah.
And the auditions and the cast selection was in the same day. And he was like, you four can stay. The rest of y'all have a good day. And I was like, whoa, I guess that's how y'all work. Very quick and to the point. Yep.
Ironically, that's exactly how I just did it. I did. We did the casting over two nights and on callbacks. I brought back the people I wanted to see. And at the end of I had let people go, and I said, here you go.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
It works well. It's you just whittle everything down and get the right people for the right role.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like one time I was casting a show, and I did that at callbacks. I said to the half a dozen or so there, well, you guys are the cast. And one of them said, well, I'm not sure I want to do the show.
Oh, no.
That kind of threw a monkey wrench into the whole deal there. Yeah.
Well, why'd you come to the callback?
Right. Why are you here?
I just wanted to see if I get it.
I just wanted to see if I could.
No, but I like that. I like that process, because then you ain't waiting by the phone. Then you're like, oh, geez, I wonder how I did.
No, you know what? I think the funniest phone call that I've made as a director to an actor was me calling your sister.
Nah.
For Colored Girls, because I call her and I was like, I'd like for you to play Lady in Purple. And she goes, do you know who you're calling? I'm like, yes, I know who I'm calling. I want you to play Lady in Purple. She goes, no, you don't. I was like, yes, actually, I do.
I think you messed up. I think you're reading something wrong.
I think you're trying to call somebody else. I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, like saying to the director, no, my audition was rubbish. You don't want that.
Exactly. It was hysterical.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Solar Moon. I don't want to give too much of the story away. We're a show about art, so I want to talk about, like, the artistic process, the creative process. Like, what brought y'all two together? Alex, what urged
what
you
in
to...
hell would endure you to tee Eric Hart? How's that, Alex?
You know, I've heard a lot about you, actually.
No. It's all true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're finding that out right now.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
So, like.
Yeah.
Why the hell this guy? You know, so.
I.
Now Alex can't talk.
No, I'm
after
right.
calling eight other
people. I'm all right. I was just trying to remember this is broadcast live out of the airwaves, so I have to be a little careful.
Yes.
But
FCC does watch. I approve.
The big issue for me as a playwright when I see my work produced is the element of trust. And I don't want to let somebody I don't really trust deeply have the potential to mangle my baby, my play, you know? So, and Eric, I trust. I mean, I've seen Eric's work, and I know Eric well. We're friends, and I knew that he had not only the theatrical chops to get the most out of the play, but that he also was going to respect the text, and he was going to respect my intentions in writing the play. So I trust him implicitly. And it's turned out to be the biggest mistake I have known.
How can you not trust that face?
It turned out to be great.
Right? Yes.
It turned out to be great. I mean, we have, I think, a very good partnership on this show, and I think we've worked together well. And it's really been a wonderful experience for me as a playwright to see somebody bringing things to the play without trying to make it his creative thing.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a great experience.
No, it's been really fun. When you bring two people together, especially when you have a writer and a director in the same room all the time, you can run into problems. Alex and I created a relationship 5-6 years ago, and it has stuck through.
Mm.
I didn't have a problem with him being there. I knew that he would respect what I was going to do, and we listened to each other. So we're a good team on this production.
Nice. Yep. What? And this is what? How many projects you and
well, the only
Alex
other thing we've ever worked on together really was Jekyll and Hyde when PlayOn did that several years back, and.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't that intimately involved in that production. I mean, I was on the production end of the theater itself, but I wasn't really working on that particular show. But you know, Eric and I got to know each other doing that and doing other things. His wife had been in a couple of shows with us, so he'd been around in the play on days, and I got to know him. And subsequently, we've been on two cruises together. Which is an
interesting experience.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I think food poisoning connects people
together. It really does.
And I got it.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
no.
The last cruise.
Of
the
course.
Last day of the cruise. It wasn't food poisoning.
No. Ooh.
I got Nora.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was pretty sick.
Ooh.
She and I redecorated our stateroom cabin.
I'm sure.
Come on now. David, you got some more questions for us on another subject.
Wow.
I think that's the perfect time. Is that a perfect time for a drop?
I think that's a perfect time for a little station identification. What do you think?
I think we can segue into that.
Wow.
Speaking of redecorate the bathroom if you gotta.
Oh,
we're gonna,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, I went there.
You really went? Okay.
You good?
Well, I started it.
You did. It's all your fault, okay. Eric.
Which is generally the truth.
That's
it. I'm dropping. This is Homegirl. Drop it. 47 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stay tuned after the show for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. You've already had your black coffee. Now you get the wake-up call.
And now you're getting your black host.
Hey-o.
Oh.
Their guest is Harriet Coor from Charlottesville's International Rescue Committee, talking about their work with refugees at and abroad and around the world.
I just want everyone to take note that the most subversive and you know, curt jokes have not come out of my mouth today. I just want, you know, just wanted everyone to take note of that.
What are you waiting for?
I don't know. I guess I'm off this morning.
I'm proud of her.
She's just not herself.
I'm just not myself.
Huh. Speaking of yourself, Alex, this seems like more of a, like you said, a whimsical side of you. You're usually into darker projects, more more that want to like play with the human psyche a little bit more. And I guess this kind of does from the explanation that you gave beforehand. But I guess kind of just wondered from a personal perspective, because I know you fairly well.
Well, you know, I think I am very attracted to darker things as a director. but as a writer, I tend to be a little lighter and more whimsically oriented. I've written a number of plays based on things like fairy tales and so forth in the past. And you know, so my attraction to darkness, very much things that attract me as a director, tend to be darker, but things I write tend to be more whimsical. And you know, as you probably know, I'm a very funny guy, and so I you know, this play is about that. I mean, it's very funny, and that's really the heart of the play. And all the, you know, it's a play about the power of things like imagination and hope and optimism, and it's kind of a reaction to the world around me and the news every day. And
I was just about to say, what kind of space were you in when writing this piece?
Yeah.
And what? How did you feel personally about your space in the world while you were writing Stolen Moon? Because I know that our life, you know, is translated into.
As Clinton says, it sucks.
It's okay. My life is pretty good right now, I'll admit.
No.
But, you know, life imitates, well, not life imitates art, but life transfuses into art, and
absolutely,
it makes it what it is.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that a little?
Well, when I started working on this script 5 years ago when the world was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And the way I felt about the world in which I live was very different.
Mm.
And the play was going nowhere fast. I mean, it was a frustrating process, and I just couldn't figure out what the play was really about and how the story should end. And so I kind of stuck it away in a file deep in my computer somewhere for several years. And then about 2 years ago, I started working on it again. And over the process of finally finishing the script and pulling it together, I think it was very much influenced by what was going on around me. Mm. You know, with the election in 2016 and with unrest and anger and foment and all of this that's going on, that I really felt the need to commit myself to something that was hopeful and optimistic and fun and just would make people go home feeling good.
Yeah.
And that's really what this play has become. It is.
Can you read that too?
It really is all of that. When Alex gave it to me to read, I actually read it and I said, oh, this is going to be great. Because as you said, there's a humor and whimsical side to this. And you were talking about Alex's dark side. It's an everyman's tale turned into a fairy tale scenario. You will literally lose yourself in what's going on around us in this melee. And we'll just fall in love with theater and people and possibility again. And that's what Alex has put down on paper. Possibility. And it's so much fun.
So the directing process was fun?
It never is fun.
because even more so when Eric is the director.
No.
Nobody is having fun.
Having fun?
It's miserable. Yeah.
All right. So it sounds like you and I direct the same way.
I retract my statement of wanting to.
When I lose my temper, though, it is out of passion.
Yes.
And I feel so much for everything I'm involved with. I've been in this business for 35 years professionally, and I've traveled the world doing shows, and when I get one in my hand that I love, that's it. That's what's going on in my life right now. And these people and these kids are just fantastic. They're working hard. They're struggling. They're watching them put it together, and putting yourself on the other side is very eye-opening, very educational, of course. But it's also, it is difficult because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I want to be able to put my experience in them without putting myself on stage and showing them how to do it, of course.
Right.
And that's very difficult for me. I am controlling, just to put it mildly.
Well, that's a fine line for any director to walk. I mean, and you kind of have to gauge based on what actor you're dealing with, like how far you step over that line.
Yes, and from 11 to 56.
Right.
We go up to...
I don't think we want to talk about how old Philip is.
let's not disparage our friend Philip, shall we? So we got to wrap up, and I'm so sorry about this, but I just want to ask one more question. Do you plan on submissions to film festivals, fringe festivals, anything like that?
I want this play to have a life beyond this production.
Oh,
and I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I'm going to try to get it out there because I think more so than anything else I've ever written, I think this play has the potential to become really popular. Mm-hmm.
Oh, great.
Community theaters would love this play, I think. So I intend to see it get out there.
And it seems like you really have a passionate, driven director to help you achieve that.
Passion, baby. Passion.
That's what all this is about, just passion, baby. We had a guy that was playing here for 55 years because of passion, just like 20 minutes ago, so it's all about the passion. Tia Eckhart, Alex Citron, thank you so much. Alex, you better come back soon.
Give us
the
dates for Stolen Moon again. Yes.
It opens March 2nd, runs through March 10th at the Belmont Arts Collaborative, right, which is on Carlton Road here in Charlottesville.
That's right.
And all the performances are pay what you will. So it's very cool.
That's awesome. And they can get tickets ahead of time?
At the door.
We're
not doing any advanced sales, but we have plenty of seats.
Yep.
And they're all pay what you will at the door.
So. Because screw the internet!
Yeah. Well, you did say plenty of seats, but we've already sold out a third of our seats available, so
you don't got a lot of time, so don't just stand there.
Let's go!
I was going to see it, but I got there.
Yeah, get your tickets, baby. Let's go.
What do you mean?
Make your plans.
Come early, come on.
Get them now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
And now sure. Thank you. And now we're going to, me and Leslie are just going to take a little time. We call this the Black Panther Minute. Ever since Black Panther has come out, we want to show homage. We want to exclaim. We want to teach white people a little bit of something.
Yes.
Every now and then.
Can we?
Yeah. Black Panther Minute. Let's go.
Okay. So, I'm gonna do my thing to black people who have
do my thing to white people.
Yes. All right. So black people, y'all who have a problem with the storyline of Black Panther, here's what I need to say to you. It's a movie. It's fictional.
Yep. Unfortunately, Wakanda is a fictional place.
Yes. It is meant to show us what is possible. It is not meant to fix anything. And just like every
Still
other movie, it is imperfect. Within the entire Marvel Universe arc, this is one section of it that has to continue a greater story. So yes, in the comic book, Killmonger lives longer. His girlfriend lives longer. We got to find out more about them intimately in the comic books. But once again, this is fitting into the entire arc of the Marvel Universe. And those storylines had to be compressed in order to get to the next Avengers movie, which, guess what? T'Challa's going to be in. So we had to have his origin story before we could finish the Avengers story. So this is not, it's not a slight against black characters that Killmonger's storyline got smushed. It's not, okay? It was serving a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it is not, I saw this thing where they said that they were mad that Killmonger had to be killed because once again, it's white media killing the scary black man, blah, 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 blah.
By the way, spoilers in this rant.
But it's like, you know what?
I think everybody's seen Black Panther.
If you look, if they haven't, well, yeah, they're wrong. But anyway, look, in the original comic, he got killed.
All right, I get it. Can I get a little bit?
Go for it. Talk to the white people.
White people, can we get a weekend? Can we get one?
Just one.
Weekend of black
Maybe
celebration
two?
And excellence before y'all go online and nitpick and diminish and dilute the greatness of a majority black cast
That's
not used as plot movement for y'all's characters.
Right.
Can we just have that moment? Can we just have the 48 to 72 hours of the weekend to celebrate a phenomenal cast of accomplished, skilled actors doing their thing?
Yep.
100%.
Yep.
A black director, not above the age of 32.
Right?
Doing his thing.
Oh, he's so doing it.
Exercising greatness.
And not only did he direct it, he wrote it.
Inspiring a group of younger African Americans.
Yep.
Can we get at least 72 hours before y'all go throwing dirt on something? And that just speaks to like individualism and white supremacy culture, and that you have to give, nobody needs your opinion on everything. Nobody needs your opinion on everything.
You know what? I just think we should start barking at them. Can we just, I think we're going to do that.
No, the Aries. We're wrapping it up. This is Homegrown. We love y'all. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call. Harriet Kaur is from Charlottesville's International Rescue Committee. They're going to talk about their work with refugees at and abroad and around the world. Clinton, I love you. Leslie, I love you. Thank you so much.
See
y'all next weekend. Peace.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.